My next guest is a feminist environmentalist who wants to tax the rich and have her country take in more refugees. You could call her the anti-Donald Trump, but no, she is not someone you could vote for or against, in case you were wondering. That is, unless you're listening from Iceland, where you may already have voted for her. She is Katrin Jakobsdottir. She's the new prime minister of Iceland, and she joins us now. Thank you very much for being with us. I want to start with your environmental pursuits and your mission. You recently attended the One Planet Summit in Paris, where you presented your goal to have Iceland carbon neutral by the year 2040. You've even predicted Iceland will achieve that 5 years ahead of other green countries like your Nordic neighbors. How far along are you already? Because isn't a lot of Iceland's energy geothermal? Don't you have a pretty good head start?
Yes, you could say that we have a pretty good head start since we are using renewable energy when it comes to, for example, heating of houses, because we have not only geothermal power, but also hydroelectric power in Iceland. But we still have a lot of work to do when it comes to industry, when it comes to waste process and other factors, other sectors. We are, for example, now starting a project with sheep farmers on how we can do sheep farming carbon neutral. So we are beginning to work with different sectors in society, but we think we can achieve it because we have this head start and we're such a small society, only 330,000 people. And to achieve that goal, we really need to get the close cooperation of local governments, of different sectors, and of course of the general public. But it's probably easier in a small country than a bigger one.
I mean, going carbon neutral typically involves dealing in carbon credits or offsetting carbon release by planting trees. You were talking about working with sheep farmers. What are you going to do with sheep farmers?
Well, part of the project is not only having less emission of greenhouse gases. When it comes to sheep farmers, they can play an important part in restoring wetlands, growing forests, etc., to achieve more carbon binding.
So, Prime Minister, you talk the talk, and you also bike to work. Are you still doing that? I mean, can you make the case why politicians should cycle and not drive or be chauffeured?
Well, actually, now I'm being chauffeured, being a prime minister. that's something quite novel to me. But I used to serve as a minister of education and culture, and then I used to cycle a lot. But now, during the high winter, I'm not using the cycle. I will do that when it grows a little bit warmer again in Iceland.
Yeah, it is challenging. It is Iceland, after all.
Well, yeah. But we are actually using the bicycles a lot more than we did just 10 years ago. So we're also making changes. And a big part of becoming carbon neutral is changing the way we travel to and from work, how we can use more public transport. Then, of course, how we can, in spite of the weather, use the bicycle or travel by foot, which is actually the best way to travel, in my opinion.
I was watching a music video that you had a small part in about 20 years ago by a band called Bangang in Iceland. The song was called Listen, Baby. I'm just curious, how did you go from that 20 years ago to education minister to now prime minister? What is the short version of that story?
Well, did you like the video?
I did. It's nice to see good old videos in black and white.
It was a great band. Actually, two friends of mine who asked me to play that role in it. I'm mainly doing the running bits, but in Iceland, not only being a politician, I'm also a literary theorist. I have worked quite a lot on research in crime fiction, and I also have done some pop music videos. And I also have three children and family, and it didn't quite stem directly from the pop music video. But of course, I've been a professional politician for 10 years and a member of government since from 2009 to 2013. So we all have to play a lot of different parts, not least in a small society like Iceland.
Prime Minister, there are obviously many differences as leaders between you and the American president, Donald Trump, but there is an interesting parallel between the two of you. Neither big fans of NATO. There is no sign that he's carrying through on his campaign pledge to either get out of NATO or not fund it until other nations start pulling their weight. But you've gone on the record as wanting to pull Iceland's membership out of NATO. Isn't NATO Iceland's defense force, though, and are you prepared to abandon military defense for your country?
My party is against the membership of NATO. However, we are the only party in the Icelandic parliament that is of this opinion, and we actually got 70% in the last parliamentary election. So we decided actually to make a compromise on that, but that doesn't change our position in the matter.
Icelandic media call you the country's most trusted politician. We should point out that you're following scandals that have forced out two previous prime ministers. And now you've got a coalition, party members, centrist progressives and conservatives. Just describe the political mood in Iceland right now.
Well, the political mood in Iceland has been since 2008, when we were faced with the economic crisis, which hit us very hard. It was a great shock to the nation. And I should say that even though we have recovered quite well economically, we haven't quite recovered when it comes to the political situation, trust in politics or confidence in politicians. It's been very low. I've gone through 5 elections, so you can imagine the turbulence that's been here. So I think the political mood in Iceland is that people hope that all parties in parliament will be able to achieve better political culture. Mm. You know, we have 8 parties in the Icelandic parliament now, which is more than ever.
On the subject of kids, Prime Minister, your children, all 3 are boys, and you've been described as an anti-war feminist. How have all the allegations of powerful men abusing women been discussed in your house? And how are you talking about this with your sons?
Well, my oldest son is 11 years old and my youngest is 6. But we talk a lot about gender equality in my house. You know, we have now, for example, the Me Too movement has been very visible in Iceland. And I think it's actually bringing to the surface a lot of things that haven't been discussed too widely in Icelandic culture until now, when it comes to sexual harassment and when it comes to women in politics, because that's a world I know fairly well.
You are the second woman prime minister in Iceland's history. What still needs to happen in terms of gender equality in Iceland? Like, where is Iceland falling short?
When it comes to international comparison, we're doing pretty good, but I still think we have a lot of challenges. For example, there are less women now in parliament after the last election than the election before that. We still haven't reached what we can call quite an equal pay between men and women, which is something that we have been working on for years now. You know, in my opinion, actually, we have done a lot of good things. We have introduced quotas in boards of bigger companies, and they have actually had some very good results. I could also mention when we introduced the parental leave, that is that all fathers need to take a paternity leave. It's not something that only mothers can take. So we have done a lot of good things, but there are great challenges ahead also.
Katrin Jakobsdottir, the new Prime Minister of Iceland, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
Our interview came to us through our Across Women's Lives desk. So you must have caught there that, among other bona fides, the Prime Minister appeared in a music video 20 years ago with an Icelandic surf band called Bangang. In it, she plays a femme fatale wearing shades. So let's take you out today with that song. We have our reality TV star. Iceland has its former rocker. Global leadership definitely is not what it used to be. And that's going to do it for us today. From the Nan and Bill Harris studios at WGBH here in Boston, I'm Marco Werman. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow. Is this a breakdown?